Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter @BackseatZach or @BackseatJack.
Ah, you are back in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati alongside James Troiano. Tully may or may not be here at some point. Now, our college football preview episode and NFL football preview episode are, of course, getting closer, mere weeks away. But just last Tuesday, we had the MLB trade deadline where any baseball teams that really wanted to make some adjustments heading into the playoff races had to do it then. So, James, there's some winners and some losers out there. And, you know, we've gone over it enough. And the Phillies had to sell and should be back with a vengeance in 2013. But, is there anyone that jumps out at you, any one team that made the best moves before the trade deadline?
I think that the first team that jumps out at me is the California Angels.
Of Anaheim.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Just because they did get that impact piece in Zach Greinke, who they traded for. And actually, both teams from L.A. did very well for themselves. You know, the Dodgers traded for Shane Victorino.
Right.
They also got Joe Blanton just a couple days ago in the waiver deadline. So they got they got another guy that they can have eight innings. Look, I think that, you know, what you're seeing now is kind of the new shift in power here in Major League Baseball. You've watched the Yankees, the Red Sox both be quiet at this trade deadline, and instead it's been out on the West Coast.
I was about to say, all the action went out west.
Exactly. It's been a West Coast bias rather than a bunch of East Coast teams doing deals.
The
like
Phillies included,
see.
The Phillies, Yankees, and Red Sox.
The Phillies straight sold.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really call them winners. I think that in this case, I didn't like what Texas did with Dempster. I thought it was a panic move at the last minute. Mm-hmm. They felt like they had to do something because basically they were haggling with the Phillies over prospects and then how much money of Cliff Lee's salary they're going to eat depending on what kind of prospects they get. And I think the deal was a little too complex to do at the trade deadline. I still think it's something that could get done in an offseason when they have more time.
Right.
But look, I didn't like what the Braves did with Paul Maholm. We're right down here. They gave up Aroides Vizcaíno, which is, I think it was like their third best pitching prospect in the organization behind Delgado and Teheran.
Right.
And all they got is Paul Maholm. I feel like they could have got more for what they had to give up. And they got Reed Johnson, who was a nice bat off the bench. But it seems to me like every year the Braves kind of hang around contention, and you're waiting for them every year to do that, make that big
blockbuster deal
to get themselves back in the race. Like they had guys like James Shields, Zach Greinke, those names bandied about when you were talking about the Braves, and they end up doing this. Even Dempster, you know, they were talking about getting him, and I think he would have been a good move into the NL into a contending team where he's already pitching well. But
when you're getting eight solid innings out of Ben Sheets.
Well, look.
No need to hit the panic button.
That's what you're getting right now. That's what you're getting right now out of Ben Sheets. But what are you going to get come the stretch run in the playoff time? And, you know, it's about time where we've watched this Braves team now for a couple years, and I think it's time to either put up or shut up if you're a Braves fan. They're kind of teetering on the brink of being a very good team, but instead it seems like they always kind of sink back at the end of the year. And that's not necessarily trade deadline talk. That's just talk. But look, if you want to talk about clear winners, you look out on the West Coast. Clear losers, I think Texas is a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, in my opinion, I thought the Braves were losers because there was better people available.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the Red Sox and the Orioles both losers. The Orioles needed an impact pitcher, an impact bat. They got nothing. And the Red Sox needed something, and they got nothing. And they didn't even, they couldn't even unload a bad contract. They couldn't do anything. They just, they lost.
All right. How do you feel about, all right, considering their position, do you think Philadelphia played this trade deadline the right way by, like, if you combine everything, signing Hamels combined with moving Pence and Victorino?
It's to be determined,
yeah.
But we're actually going, it's not far in the future when it will be determined. Because,
right.
Look, just because you think, now I know this because I'm tuned in to what people are saying in Philly and what fans think, being here from Atlanta, I stay tuned in up there. I know a lot of people are upset at the Hunter Pence trade because they just got him last year. They figured he was going to be one of those Philly stalwarts for life because he's kind of a Philly type player. He plays hard. He's kind of quirky. It's the kind of guy the fans really take to you. However, when you are bad and you're paying a player $15 million a year on a bad team, you can't have those kind of players. And
Right. Sure,
the Shane Victorino deal I thought was a no-brainer. You get rid of him for whatever you can get because he's going to be a free agent anyway and you're not going to win this year. So you get rid of him.
Yeah.
The Hunter Pence deal, a little more complex. They could have kept him, but I think that their idea moving forward, to be succinct about this, is they're going to have two players do what Hunter Pence could do in a platoon role for about not even half the cost, not even a third of the cost, about a quarter of the cost.
Right.
Which is a great deal when you're... Basically, the Phillies have decided that they're going to build around the starting pitching, starting with Cole Hamels. Okay, that's why
obviously,
they locked him up. And Roy Halladay. And maybe or maybe not Cliff Lee. But if not Cliff Lee, I could see them going out this season and getting a guy like Kyle Loesch, who's going to be a free agent in the offseason, and do something there. I don't think that this trade deadline isn't going to make Phillies fans feel any better about their prospects next year. Because they're essentially going to have the same team next year. With all of their key pieces a year older and just as expensive. And unless Ruben Amaro says that he has money to go get marquee players, there's not that many available. And I don't know if that's just him speaking. I think that they are trying to reel it back in Philly.
I'll say two things, one about the NL and one about the AL, or it's more a question for you about the AL. In the NL, next year, this offseason, I think it's going to be more interesting than the average Atlanta offseason down here for the Braves. I don't think Brian McCann's coming back. I think they're going to let him go. I think they're going to let him walk because you can't really... I mean, look, you just don't build a team around a catcher. It's just not something you really do. Not to mention, I understand he's still in his prime, but he's not exactly moving into his prime. He's kind of moving out of it. I mean, he's given him several good seasons, but he's just a little too old to be locking up on like a huge contract if you're Atlanta. He's probably going to go somewhere like Kansas City or something where they're the type of team that throw a big contract at a Brian McCann at his age and at his point in his career. Now, my question about the AL is, what's your opinion on the Ichiro move?
The Ichiro move. Wow.
I didn't
see that coming. I thought it was a no loss move for the Yankees. It was a win-win.
And for the Mariners?
Because the Mariners, look, he was clearly not as motivated to play this year. And if you watched Ichiro play, which I have a fair amount, I will say, I've seen a little bit too much of Mariner baseball this year. But look, he wasn't motivated to play. The Yankees figured, hey, what's the worst thing that happens? We get an eight hitter who's dominant or a platoon player who we already told will have to come off the bench and platoon if he's bad. But it's only worked out so far. He's in the middle of a 12-game hitting streak. And can I just say something about the Braves real quick?
Yeah.
I know that we're going to run out of time here. Yeah. How much time do we have?
A few minutes. Go ahead.
The Braves are at a crossroads right now in their franchise, and I don't know how to stress this enough. And I can say this with some objectivity because I'm not. I love the Phillies. I'll be honest. Like all you know, full disclosure. However, I spend enough time in Atlanta and listening, watching, reading about the Braves, where I think that the Braves are at a crossroads here with some of their older players. And this new generation of talent that's coming up, they're going to have some key decisions on guys like Brian McCann, what they're going to do with Jason Hayward moving forward.
Yeah.
And which one of their pitching prospects is going to pan out, and if they're going to pan out. It seems to me like right now the Braves are kind of hesitant about putting the glove on the hand, so to speak. They have all of these guys, and look, you can probably get into this a little bit too. It seems to me like they have all these guys, and some of these guys are ready, and it feels like they're ready, but the Braves aren't ready to unleash these players. Yeah. Like they bring guys along really slowly, and they're at a crossroads now where they're not going to pay Brian McCann.
No,
I would be very shocked. I would be very, very shocked because he's going to demand some cash, and the Yankees don't have a catcher right now. The Red Sox don't have an answer at catcher right now. The Phillies, Ruiz is going to be 35 in a couple years, and they're not going to have an answer. And the Dodgers don't have an answer. LA doesn't have the LA Angels, who just spent all this money. They don't have an answer. And Texas might let Mike Napoli walk, and they're not going to have an answer. So good luck, Braves. You're not competing with that.
If there's frustrations I have with the Braves, it's that, look, the starting pitching situation the past year and a half has been frustrating. Is like the most generous term you can even give. Look, Jair Jurgens disappeared. Did not happen. All right. I think All-Star last year and for a while was a Cy Young like leading candidate. Didn't happen. Disappeared. Tommy Hansen, do not know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
When he takes the hill. Yep. Tim Hudson, not a lot of time left. So, Brandon Beachy, you know, a lot of promise, but maybe not ace material. I don't know. Mike Minor, probably not going to get a whole lot better. So, you know, frustrating at best is the best way that you can put it. And then there's been injuries. And so, you know, look, the Braves are the kind of team where if we could crown a champion just based on potential on paper, they'd be in the playoffs every year.
They look like that. They look like a team that every year could do it and should do it. And every year, it just seems to me that why do you let these things happen to your baseball team when you have the solution already there?
Yeah,
you have the solution. Your pitching's bad. You have a bunch of the best prospects in baseball at the pitching position, not just in your organization, but in baseball. These are highly regarded players. Call them up and use them. Okay,
get them warm.
That's what you do when you are a team like the Braves and you don't spend money on guys in the free agent market.
Right.
You bring guys up. And guys like Jair Jurgens, Ben Sheets, these are Band-Aids at best. And that is that is generous.
We're in a triage situation and we're
but you don't need to be. You do not need to be.
All right. Well, we're going to do a special Olympic version of Hottie and Naughty coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
I feel so
Email
close
us
to
at backseatsports
right
at gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach and at James Troiano. At James, T-R-O-I-A-N-O. This is Hottie and Naughty, a special Olympic version of Hottie and Naughty, and we're a majority of the way through the Olympic Games so far. They've been pretty entertaining, a lot of good moments. First Hottie, Michael Phelps. I think he's got 67 gold medals. Is that the tally now? Maybe 74?
Somewhere between 60 and 100 is what I heard. I read it somewhere.
His mom has had more time on camera than like any other athlete mom ever.
All right.
They like to get her reaction.
I don't understand the obsession with Michael Phelps' mother.
I don't either. She looks like a lovely person. She doesn't look like Kate Upton or anything.
Look,
so putting her
NBC
on cam is a little...
NBC acts like he'll do something and they'll be like, oh my God, look at Michael Phelps' mom. This is the best mom in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this mom. She is going crazy. This mom is so happy. Don't you wish your mom was like that? That's what they do.
Don't you think that, because this is the fourth time, I'm sorry, no, four, yeah, fourth, that she's watched her son in the Olympics, but don't you think that she's like increased the intensity
she
of her theatrical
she's
reactions?
On camera.
Yeah. The way she reacts
she
has
it.
Gotten way more intense.
She's like, oh, my son's famous, I'm on camera? I need to look like I really care about him.
Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw that Missy Franklin's parents had to sit in like row QZ at the aquatic center when she won the backstroke gold. They were like, they were under the ceiling, way, way, way up high. So,
well,
I don't know.
She doesn't have the cred yet.
Right. Maybe Subway pays for Michael Phelps' mom's tickets. Anyway, he's definitely a hottie because it's hard to argue that he's that he isn't the best Olympian of all time. Like we said, somewhere between 67 and 100 gold medals. We'll get the official numbers there soon. Naughty, Ryan Lochte, he participated in some gold medal winning events as well, but man, he is a douchebag.
Wow. This guy. Look, first of all.
No, I wanted to like him because he's a Gator. So, you know, I wanted to like him. And he's a great swimmer, but he wears grills on the medal stand. That was cool in 2003.
Look, can I just say this, Ryan Lochte? I know you're not listening, but if you were, this is what I would say to you. Live it up, pal. This only happens once every 4 years during a certain span of your life. It's not like you can do this every 4 years for your life. You're only going to be good enough to compete at this high level at it for maybe, what, one or two Olympics, maybe three really good?
You know he's
pal?
He's the same age as Michael Phelps. He just kind of was like...
But nobody cares about anything that has to do with swimming unless there's gold medals involved. So nobody, that world championships, nobody cares. And what do they do the rest of the year? I want to know what these guys do the rest of the year. Because I don't know.
Eat Subway,
look,
apparently.
They're our age, and we have jobs.
And hang out with Jay Glazer.
Well, I guess so. Maybe Subway like just gives you a stipend.
What is it with Subway?
What is it with Subway and all these they're like, the Olympics are coming. Well, let's sign all these athletes and get them in a stupid commercial together.
You know they're about to dump Nastia Lukin because she didn't. I'm surprised they're even still running the ads with her in them because she didn't make the Olympic team.
So
she is hot.
I mean, you can put her. Look, Olympics or not. Like, if Subway just had a commercial with just a bunch of hot women eating sandwiches, that's enough for me. I mean, that's going to sell some sandwiches.
The sandwiches do it for you, huh?
That's going to sell some sandwiches.
Yeah, it is. Nastia Lukin, always a hottie.
Look,
in James'
Subway,
mind.
Subway.
Yeah. Okay. Our next hottie is Andy Murray. Look, it's almost like this, you had to write this up. You know, he and Federer meet in the Wimbledon final. Federer wins Wimbledon again, and Andy Murray is just left to wonder when he's ever going to win a major tournament. So he wins the gold medal at home in the UK in the Olympics. That's pretty nice against the same guy who just beat him at Wimbledon.
It was a nice moment. It was great TV. However, winning Wimbledon is much better, so just do that next time.
Yeah, they pay a little bit more, don't they?
Then it won't matter.
Our next naughty is Korean badminton. They, you know, I had this explained to me, but I'm still not sure if I completely understand.
All right.
They lost because it gave them a better, a less challenging opponent in the next round. They intentionally lost.
I don't know. All I know is I will never bet on badminton ever again.
Ooh, and that's a lifestyle change for you. Our next hottie is Alex Morgan. Nastia Lukin, she's great too, but Alex Morgan.
Let's do creepy noises. go say Alex Morgan.
Alex Morgan. Alex Morgan.
This country is going straight to hell.
All right, look.
Alex Morgan scored the winning goal in today's match against Canada for the U.S. women in soccer in the Olympics. It was a 3-3 match in extra time. 123rd minute, she scored the winning goal off her head, 4-3. That's pretty nice. Not only is she hot, she's good. She's not like Anna Kournikova, where she was hot and she sucked at tennis.
Yeah.
Alex Morgan happens to be good at soccer as well, to accompany her
I was just really glad that she scored the goal because she got more airtime when they interviewed her after, because I never get tired of looking at Alex Morgan.
Because they would have had to interview someone else.
Yeah.
If she had to score.
Like Rapinoe or somebody.
Yeah. Rapinoe.
Whoever.
Our last naughty of the Hottie Naughty segment is James Harden. James, take it away.
All right. I don't know if anybody watched this because it's Olympic basketball and it's USA versus Nigeria. It was in the 156-point, 80-point blowout. But James Harden, James Harden got crossed over. Like, I have never seen anybody get crossed over before. And he blamed his shoes and the wet floor.
Let me ask you something.
Look, I think after this, I think James Harden is permanently walking bow-legged because he looked like a deer that was learning to walk, but like a newborn deer.
Let me ask you something. It's one thing to blame the floor, like blame that there was some sweat on the floor or something. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. But if you blame your shoes, if he's got like a contract with a shoe company, if you're that company, aren't you like James?
First of all,
hey, listen,
I'm guessing James Harden does not have a shoe contract.
Do they all have shoe contracts these days?
James
you
Harden?
Don't know. You never know. He doesn't have a contract with a razor company. I can tell you that much. So maybe it's shoes.
Look, you're probably right about the shoe deal. My man.
No, look, let's just say Nike outfits his shoes. They're probably like, look, hey, don't say that again.
James Harden's had a rough
that's true.
End of he got destroyed in the finals by the Heat, and then when you go out and look like that against the Nigerian national team, if the Thunder are indeed kind of feeling out who may or may not want to make you like their franchise player, you're not helping anybody out
by getting crossed over by a Nigerian national team
by some guy named Oluwande Akubiandi. It's not going to get it done.
That was Hadi and Naughty. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. If you want to contact us for any reason, they could be questions, comments, death threats, marriage proposals, anything, email us backseatsports@gmail.com or tweet us again, as the lovely Taylor tells you, at Backseat Zach or at James Troiano. We will see you next week.